Well, in verse 22, it starts off like this. And he said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you shall eat, nor about your body, what you shall put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap, they have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a cubit to his span of life? If then you are not able to do as small a thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest? Consider the lilies, now they grow, they neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass, which is alive in the field today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O men of little faith? And do not seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor be of anxious mind. For all the nations of the world seek these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek his kingdom, and these things shall be yours as well." Of course, this isn't proscribing or discouraging simple prudence.
No,
it doesn't
not
mean
at
that
all.
They shouldn't go to the grocery store today in order to get some milk for tomorrow.
Right.
But that the tenor of your life ought not to be marked by this anxiety about what's it going to be like next year or 5 years from now or 10 years from now, but rather a deep act of faith in what we call God's providence. Now, providence doesn't mean that everything is controlled by God, but that everything is foreseen by God. Providence comes from pro videre in Latin, which means videre is to see, and pro is to see ahead. So God sees ahead everything that we are freely going to choose to do. He also sees our free acts without causing us to act one way or the other. Just like if you see two cars moving in the same direction, they're going to have an accident. You happen to be in a place where you can see both of them, and then they do have an accident. You're seeing the accident didn't cause it. You just noticed that they were coming together.
That's a good way to put it, because people think that God
sees
controls
many things.
It.
Yeah. God sees all of this. And he orders all things well, Scripture says. God orders all things well. So even our free acts, even our sins are going to be brought into the order of God's providence, despite us. Even the worst sinners in the world end up indirectly serving God and providing occasions for the practice of other people's virtues. So we must make that act of faith that whatever happens, finally, for those who love God, all things turn unto the good. Mm-hmm. And that's what we mean by not being anxious for tomorrow, mm-hmm. knowing that he really does have the whole world in his hands, and there's something is underway here in this life that we cannot fully understand. Mm-hmm. Something God is preparing us for, a glory that no human mind has seen, no eye has seen, no mind has conceived. So we can't possibly figure him out or second guess God. And this fundamental faith and trust and peace, you know, whatever may happen, is not an act of great exertion, saying, "Oh, I'm going to bear out whatever happens." It's based upon our faith. Again and again, we come back to the importance of knowing our faith well, knowing Scripture well, knowing the Catechism well, so you understand certain things. There's a great deal to know about our faith. It's not just a blind act of submission to a great mystery. God teaches us that he really does care for all things. If he takes care of the lilies and of the ravens like this, do you think he's not going to take care of us in an even more magnificent way, even though we go through many trials and tribulations?
Well, this book on abandonment of divine providence really focuses on this part of Scripture.
And that abandonment is a something that can be compared perhaps best with swimming. And the only way someone asked once a person who was swimming, "Why are you able to swim?" And he said, "Well, I'm able to swim because I learned how to make these motions, and these motions are what make me swim. And then he asked the question again, why are you able to swim? And he says, I'm able to swim because the water holds me up. And both are true, but they're two sides of the same thing. You have to abandon yourself to the water in order to swim. You have to allow the water to hold you up. And then you have to make motions in order for the water to be able to hold you up. But finally, it's not your motions that are keeping you up, it's the water that's holding you up. Mm-hmm. Your motions enable you to abandon yourself to the buoyant force of the water. Mm-hmm. Now, to say that I abandon myself to God's providence is not a quietism, right, or just a complete surrender. Well, all will be well anyway. Mm-hmm. God has everything in his hands, so I'm going to sit in the lotus posture and be at peace. Oh no. The fact that all will be well, it means that everything that God is doing in this world is absolutely marvelous, and there's a possibility. The more you realize that, the more you believe that in your faith, that he has everything in his hands, the more you want to actively participate in it. Mm-hmm. Because your choice is being an active participant, mm-hmm, and a direct channel for his providence, mm-hmm, or one of the things that's pushed around. Mm-hmm. And many things are just pushed around. They don't want to. The devils are pushed around. Sinners are pushed around in God's providence. But they're not active, willing channels for his providence, but they're tools that he uses anyway, despite themselves. Mm-hmm. Well, it's one thing. I mean, every demon is also reckoned into God's providence, but we don't want to be demons. We don't want to be sinners. So if you believe that, if you believe in God's providence, and that it builds upon the free response of his saints, really, and of his believers, then you want to be an active participant and surrender yourself to his water, to the water that will hold you up, to his will, which will hold you up, by moving yourself, by doing things, by actively working for the church, working for the faith, evangelizing, practicing virtue. Those are the movements. But he keeps us up. And doing everything. You don't have to do just the best things. Mm-hmm. People often think the best thing would be to go to the church right now and pray.
Yeah,
well, maybe. Might not be. You have to do your responsibility first.
That's right.
The story is told of St. John Birchman. Perhaps you know the story. He had mastered this art. He was always doing what his conscience told him he was supposed to be doing. He did it totally. And he was playing croquet one afternoon in the yard. And he was asked, what would you do if you were told that the world was going to end in 10 minutes? Mm-hmm. He said, spontaneously, he said, I'd finish my croquet game. Mm-hmm. That is, I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I want to be doing what I'm supposed to be doing when God comes. Well, the fact that our Lord uses images from nature, mm-hmm, do not spin nor toil, these lilies, indicates that also our growth in this art of living at the moment and living according to grace and to God's providence should make us very natural. When Dante, in his famous Divine Comedy, in which he takes a trip through hell, purgatory, and then finally he ascends the various circles of heaven to the very presence of God, as he rises in the supernatural order and becomes more and more supernaturalized, he at the same time becomes more and more naturalized. That is, he doesn't become strange. The natural order is crowned, the theologians say, by the supernatural order. Mm-hmm. Nature is crowned by grace, not replaced by it. And I think most of the saints, not all of them, but most of the saints leave this impression too, that they're very natural people. They're not in any way strained or you feel like they're controlling themselves at all moments. There's a certain spontaneity that comes with this and a freedom of knowing that you are cooperating with God's grace. You are a conduit of his, with all of your faults and with all of your continued sins. That's very important, this naturalness, that those who struggle to be good Catholics and good Christians and living the spiritual life, they have a very great danger of becoming strained and sort of unnatural about it, which isn't good. Christ did not make that impression at all. He was quite natural. He loved the children. That's why I love the children so much, because they're so natural, so spontaneous. So I think that's why our Lord uses these images. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Provide yourselves with purses that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also.
Wow.